Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Let's do it.
Why did you vote for Scott Jenner, and do you have an explanation related to that vote, please?
You're recognized.
Sure. Thank you. I voted for Mr. Jenner's track record in education reform. He has a demonstrated track record there if you read everything he's written. I believe that sort of diversity on this board, as far as being competitive in a marketplace that's undergone education reform for the last 15 to 20 years, would have been warranted. And when I spoke on him, the only area I was speaking on, if you look at my quotes, are education reform.
So that is Gates Garcia, one of the nominees put on the UWF Board of Trustees by Governor DeSantis, getting questioned yesterday in Tallahassee in the first committee. This is, some have gone through one committee, and these are the sort of next wave. Scott Jenner, of course, was never put in front of the committee, and now he's resigned from the seat. But what's really holding up some of these others is the question of, well, you voted for him to be the chairman of the board. When did you know and what did you know it? Are you now or have you ever been a member of the Scott Jenner Fan Society? And that's the question that they keep asking them, which is a fair question.
So you were aware of all of the controversial comments he's made about women, about Jews, and about gays, and you just didn't want to address any of that. You just thought that it was appropriate for him to be the chair of the Board of Trustees of your state university.
You're recognized.
I'd like to correct your statement. I was not aware, nor have I ever said that. So I was not aware of those statements when I... made those comments. My comments were specifically on education reform, as they're quoted.
So all three of the candidates yesterday saying they did not know. Chris Young actually apologized for the decision. He would have not made that decision. Paul Bailey also said, he would not have made that decision. Gates Garcia seems to hint in that direction, but still, he's more, I did research him. All of his stuff about education I knew, and I did not still see these comments.
So every local paper, TV station, and news publication was circulating this, and the entire community was aware. You're saying that you just were not engaged in the with the community on that level.
You're recognized.
The areas of education and education reform, which is what the university is or what the governor is appointing me to do at the school, that's where I was engaged, and those are the comments I was familiar with, and his work there, the others I was not.
Which, by the way, is actually a different kind of question, too, because what he's saying is the whole community was talking about this. How did you not know? Well, because he doesn't live here, right? I mean, that's the question of being from a place, being in a place, understanding a place, knowing the values of a place, all of that stuff. Gail Harrell actually asked him, why is it that you're not trying to become on the Board of Trustees at University of South Florida, much closer to where you live? And his answer was, well, I go where the governor sends me. I don't have a chance. But Jennifer Bradley, another Republican, Carlos Guillermo Smith is a Democrat, okay? Jennifer Bradley is a Republican.
You say that you explored his educational positions. Yet had no were you aware of all the comments? Had you read?
Depends on which comments
you're recognized.
I'm sorry, ma'am. Depends on which comments you're speaking to. I was familiar with his work in education reform.
The controversial.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The controversial comments that I think we all in this room are referring to.
I'd have to hear them.
You're recognized, sir. Please through the chair.
Exactly what you're speaking about. When I read his work on education reform and prior work on education reform, nothing. Nothing stood out controversial to me, but it's unfair if we're not, sort of quoting what we're talking about here, because there's all sorts of comments out there, some of which I was familiar with, some of which I was not familiar with.
I'm having trouble understanding how you are not familiar with the comments about not needing higher participation rates in engineering programs and the fact that women should not be or the goal is not to have women in higher ed. And that a primary focus in a better, stronger society would be if women did not participate in higher ed. Those are very core principles that I hear as I read his work, very consistent throughout his work. And so I'm trying to understand where you're coming from.
Are you recognized?
Sure. Like I said, he's written on diversity, equity, inclusion. I've read comments about that. I did not come across these specific remarks of being so disparaging towards women, and I have a demonstrated track record of believing the exact opposite of that.
Interesting. Thank you.
So, in the end, they did advance all three of these candidates on a 6-1 vote. Carlos Guillermo Smith voted against all three of them. Paul Bailey is the PSC adjunct professor. Gates Garcia, Chris is an attorney. Gates Garcia is an attorney. I forget. Anyway, Gates is in Tampa and Chris Young is in Panama City. But I think there's another issue here because they're all kind of, to one degree or another, some vehemently, some less vehemently. Gates Garcia was less vehemently distancing themselves from connection with Scott Yenner, which is fine. You know, you're not responsible for somebody else. You know, even if they say things that, you know, whatever. There's some plausibility there. But I don't think that's the right question. I think there's a very different set of questions that need to be asked here, and I'll tell you about that in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Still dealing with that accident that happened on Lillian Highway in North Blue Angel Parkway. Blue Angel Parkway is blocked at this time, so you definitely want to plan an alternate route around that. First responders are on the scene trying to get that out of the way so traffic can start flowing again. I'm John Pickens with the traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So I've said that in this first committee, the theme has been, you know, when did you find out about Scott Yenner? What did you know? When did you know it? You know, have you now or are you ever? Okay, that's kind of the, you know, guilt by association. But it's not just association. It's guilt by vote to put him on as the chair. I think that's the wrong question. Because it's not to me primarily. I know it's gotten a lot of the news, but it's not to me the, like, incendiary comments. It's the basic issue of this person has never been to the campus. This person has never been to Pensacola. This person is brand new as a member of the Board of Trustees. He shouldn't be the chairman. Like, that alone, I don't care how qualified they are. Just a little continuity in government would have been nice. And, in fact, in the conversation in January about who's going to be the board chair, some of the kind of continuing members said it should be Dick Baker, who should be, okay, or Lonzi Scott. I mean, it's fine, either one. But somebody who gets it a little already. And then in a year, maybe one of you can be the chair and that would make more sense. But a completely uninformed, unfamiliar person, and I don't just mean because they're like out-of-towners. I mean, you know, that's really not the main issue. It's just, who are these people? And why are they being put in charge of our university, which is healthy and strong, right? So if I'm Don Gates, you know, if I'm in the next committee in ethics and elections, I'm asking different questions. Question number one, okay, why did you choose Scott Yenner over Dick Baker? And wait for an explanation. Why did you vote for Scott Yenner at all? And remember, all of the new people voted unanimously for them. Right? Why did you vote for him at all? What's his advantage to you? And then I think this is even worse. And this is, maybe you think this is too much to expect, but here's my thinking. It was obvious by the February or the March meeting, the controversy. If they didn't know any of the controversy before January, okay. But you definitely knew by February and you definitely knew by March, and nobody said anything. No, they didn't say anything. Actually, so one of the other board members actually kind of brought it up a little, like, you know, gently. Why wouldn't you say something like this? Folks, we're ignoring the elephant in the room. We are a board of trustees for a highly successful university. And we are not listening to the community. The community is very concerned about the current status of our nominations and of the chairmanship. And I think out of fairness to the concerns of the community, Chair Yenner, I think you should step down and let somebody who's been on this board take over, at least for now. That would show that you're listening to them. That would recognize the concerns being raised. And that might serve to steady this ship a little bit that right now is in great controversy and has got the whole community freaked out. Nobody said anything like that. Now, maybe you think that's too much to expect of people. Yeah, maybe. I mean, that's a high expectation. But that's what somebody could have said that. Like, if you're so horrified by the comments and yet you keep quiet until your confirmation hearing come up 3 months later, that's weird. And then last thing, and I mentioned this only in passing, but I do want to mention it because I think it's important. Their bios are sort of okay, fine. Let me give you a comparison because it was interesting. In the same meeting, you had a guy named Zach Smith, who I do not know, is up for being, I think, reappointed to the board of PSC, Pensacola State College. Listen to his bio in comparison with some of theirs.
By way of background, I am a lifelong resident of Pensacola, Florida. After attending undergrad and law school at the University of Florida, go Gators.
Go Gators.
I had the privilege of returning home to Pensacola to serve my community for several years as a federal prosecutor, as an assistant United States attorney, before joining and serving in my current position as a senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. I've been able to continue to be involved in local community, civic, and charitable activities, and I currently have the privilege of serving as the chair of our local judicial nominating commission in the First Judicial Circuit. Now, my connections to Pensacola State are deep and longstanding. In addition to taking dual enrollment classes at Pensacola State myself as a high school student, both my wife and my mother, both of whom were kind enough to join me here today, are graduates of Pensacola State. My wife received an AA in education from Pensacola State. My mom graduated from the college's dental hygiene program all the way back in 1975. And then I had the privilege of getting to serve as an adjunct instructor for several semesters at Pensacola State as well.
Here's your seat, sir. Like, we have people of that level of qualification and familiarity and experience and investment who could be on UWF's board. You get, like, Zach's, that's the kind of people who should be serving on these boards. Great, here you go, sir, PSC, done. And yet we got all these kind of marginally qualified, unfamiliar, who are these people kind of nominees to be on UWF's board. That's bad. We deserve better. And just the other two, by the way, you know local attorney Ed Fleming? He's been nominated to be put on the board. I think he'll be okay at the job. And Chief Deputy Andrew Hobbs from the Sheriff's Department.
I believe my vision. I lead as the Chief Deputy. I work for a sheriff. Of course, Sheriff Chip Simms is the best sheriff in the state of Florida. We have a employees about 745. We deal with HR issues, unions, contracts, you name it. On that level, I also am in the community every single day. So I feel like I'm very well connected to the young people who are going to be going to Pensacola State College. We also hire a lot of individuals that between the ages of 18 to 22. We deal with cybersecurity. We deal with a lot of issues that Pensacola State College is addressing every day.
Here's your seat, sir. You're good. Again, three extraordinarily well-fitted, qualified, eligible people compared to the ones who have been put up for UWF, which kind of begs the question, why the disparity? 723 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
Palm Sunday is a wonderful celebration of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. It's wonderful because the New Testament passages record the fulfilled prophecies from the Old Testament. Palm Sunday helps prove that Jesus of Nazareth is God's anointed Messiah. As Jesus enters Jerusalem riding a colt, he is doing so in fulfillment of Zechariah 9:9. Recorded hundreds of years before Palm Sunday, Jesus riding that colt identifies him as the Messiah. In addition, as the crowd sees him, they laid down palm branches in his honor, and then they cried out, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And them saying that was a fulfillment of Psalm 118. So be sure to gather with your local church this Palm Sunday and celebrate all that God has done through the person of his only begotten Son.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
It's spring at Anderson Subaru, the perfect time to refresh your ride. With 3.9% for 63 months on 2025 Subaru Outback models, or get 3.9% for 48 months on 2025 Forester models and 2025 Crosstrek models. at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you. Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, and the News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 7:25 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We'll talk with Dave Greenwood, Pensacola Beach Water Safety Chief for Escambia County, in just a second. Before that, John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Still dealing with that accident that happened on Lillian Highway and North Blue Angel Parkway. Again, Blue Angel Parkway is blocked at this time, so definitely plan an alternate route. If you're traveling I-10 right now, I-110, they are actually flowing very smoothly, not seeing any delays there. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Dave Greenwood, as I mentioned, is the Pensacola Beach Water Safety Chief for Escambia County. That means he oversees, hires, trains the lifeguards along with AJ, Alex Johnson, and some other great folks out at the beach, keeping it safe for us all the time. Dave, welcome back, sir.
Thank you, Andrew. Happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday to you. What are we looking at this weekend?
Oh, it's going to be beautiful out there. Surf is calm. It's going to be sunny. We expect to have lots of people. We've got a firefighters challenge going on at Casino Beach. Deluna swims going on over the intercoastal. So we expect to have a lot of people. We got 16 new people that will be starting their second half of the training tomorrow. So really happy about that.
Outstanding. You're all set for staffing for the summer foreseeably, as far as you can tell?
Yes, we sure are. And we're working on getting that Gulf Islands agreement set. So we might be putting lifeguards at Johnson's Lines and Anople.
Oh, okay. So that is actually back on the table now?
It sure is. We're planning on it, so we'll see how it turns out. And, once everything gets finalized, I can't wait to tell you.
Outstanding. And then, man, that would make me feel a lot better because I know we had one incident at Fort Pickens a couple weeks ago, and, very unfortunate. And just as a reminder for anybody who hadn't caught the news over the last couple of years, but we do now have guards staffed out at Perdido Key, right, on the county side of it, not at Johnson Beach, but on Perdido Key, right?
Yes, that's beginning May. Toward the end of May, as school gets out, when we have staff available, we'll post three lifeguards at access to on Perdido Key.
Thank you for the reminder that it's not yet, but soon. Excellent. Dave Greenwood, as always, thank you for the information. Thank you for keeping us safe. And please always convey to your people how much we really appreciate what they do, sir.
Well, thank you, Andrew. Have a great weekend.
And we'll talk to you next week, sir. 728 News Radio 92.3, David Wayne, our new news director, is in the newsroom with our headlines. David, congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. New York dive teams are going to be in the Hudson River today. They're looking for wreckage from that deadly helicopter crash yesterday. Some wreckage was pulled to shore yesterday, but a lot of it's still in the water. Federal investigators are beginning their probe into what caused that helicopter to nosedive into the Hudson. The Supreme Court says the Trump administration will have to facilitate the release of a Maryland man wrongly deported to an El Salvador prison. The High Court ruled yesterday that the Trump administration has to be prepared to share what it can concerning the steps that it's taken to ensure the release of Kilmar Abrego Garcia. And, the price of eggs, Andrew, is at an all-time high ahead of Easter. The U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics releasing new data yesterday saying the average price for a dozen eggs is at an all-time high of $6.23.
I thought it was going down. It had gone down by like a dime.
Goes down, it goes up.
Oh, I don't want to know. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. You're the best. Oh, my goodness. Oh, somebody says, what about sunshine with these trustees? It's not sunshine violation if they didn't talk to each other before, or they talked to each other or were talked to by the governor beforehand. They can even be talked to the governor after, that's actually allowed. I would actually ask that question in committee. I would ask, did the governor tell you who to vote for chair? I'd be curious to know. I'm curious to know what they might say about that. That would be kind of a fascinating question to get an answer to. Hey, coming up next, we're going to have a good interview. We're going to talk to the next CivicCon speaker, Kobe Lefkowitz, who's going to come into CivicCon on Monday and talk to us about, like, some elements of urban design, how to make places, you know, better and worse based on the unique characteristics that we choose to apply to them. You know, how can we make Pensacola more Pensacola is kind of the idea, and I'm looking forward to having that conversation with him about that. Also, Men Who Cook coming up on April 27th at the Sanders Beach Corinne Jones Resource Center. Great event benefiting the Pace Center for Girls. I'm cooking. Buy a ticket. Come eat some food.
News. I'm CJ Papa. China raises tariffs to 125% on U.S. goods, but that appears to be the limit for the communist nation.
The Chinese are putting out the word now today that they are done matching the Trump U.S. tariffs. So they got them up to 125%, but the Chinese officials are telling us that they don't think it's worth matching tariff for tariff anymore with these economic sanctions that they call a joke.
Fox's Peter Ducey at the White House. The Trump tariffs are at 145% on China, but that includes an extra 20% fentanyl-related levy. U.S. Trade Rep Jameson Greer earlier on Fox and Friends.
The Chinese reaction this morning is not terribly surprising, but certainly unfortunate.
Greer says he's talking to Israel and Taiwan today. Energy Secretary Chris Wright in the UAE today says the U.S. could stop Iran's oil exports as part of a plan to pressure Tehran over its nuclear program. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. It's a beautiful day. We've got 60 degrees, partly cloudy skies this morning. Pensacola police say a man was taken into custody yesterday after an incident involving a train in downtown Pensacola. It all started when a man jumped onto a moving train. Officers were able to stop that train near the skate park. The suspect jumped off, then on, and attempted to fight the train engineer. At this time, officers say he tried to fight that engineer.
They caught up with him and was able to detain him. It was obvious that he had some minor injuries and maybe had a mental event going on.
And that's PPD's Mike Wood. The suspect was taken in for a mental evaluation and reportedly had some minor injuries. Well, one of the bigger fundraising events of the year for the Escambia Sheriff's Foundation happens tomorrow.
Our third annual Cars, Cops, and Crawfish. It's the Sheriff's Foundation. It's their largest fundraiser. And if you recall there, they fund the Blazer Academy, both the men's and the ladies' Blazer Academy.
Movie nights.
They fund Dream Big Program. And then they also obviously support the men and women of the Sheriff's Office.
And that is Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. The event happening at Five Flags Speedway. The car show registration begins as early as 7:30 in the morning. The first crawfish plates will be served starting at 11. If you don't like crawfish, there's also burgers and hot dogs available, balloon animals, face painting, and a 50-50 raffle. Well, there was an unusual sighting in Navarre here last weekend. North Atlantic right whales were seen from the Navarre Pier. It's only the fifth time since 2000 that North Atlantic right whales have been in the Gulf. Oceana North Atlantic whale marine scientist Nora Ives is warning boaters in the area to be a little bit extra cautious as they can be hard to see. An estimated 370 North Atlantic right whales are left in the wild today. And of those, only about 70 are females, which makes reproduction chances for the species relatively slim. So if you're going to be out boating around that area, make sure you pay a little extra attention. Governor Ron DeSantis in Miami yesterday talking about condo reform and what the legislature is proposing as the session starts to wind down. He says lawmakers need to act now to help condo owners that can't afford crippling assessments.
Let's recognize that these consequences are not what we want, and let's provide reforms to be able to keep people in their condo units.
The Senate bill proposed by Senator Leanna Garcia extends the reserve study requirement for a year and gives flexibility for funding reserves. Well, an update on our red light cameras around Pensacola. Apparently, they're not stopping dangerous drivers from zooming right through. Mayor D.C. Reeves says violations are up 21% from February to March.
The two major problem approaches that we have, 9th and Bayou eastbound, that would be going from the movie theater over, you know, towards going towards Target and the mall there, that approach. The last 2 months, 859 violations. And the worst of all, the on-ramp, 9th and Gregory, the last 2 months is 1,609, which is, if you want to do that math over 59 days, is 27 a day, but one approach.
Mayor Reeves said only one intersection around town had fewer violations for that month, and it was 9th and Airport. The lights have been active since January. At 7:35 at News Radio, John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still dealing with that accident that happened on North Blue Angel Parkway and Lillian Highway. Now, it's off to the side of the road, but I'm still seeing some delays on Blue Angel, so just be aware of that. I-10, I-110, even 98 are flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
It's going to be a lovely day today. Temperatures starting off in the 50s, warming into the upper 70s as you head into your afternoon. Plenty of sunshine throughout the day. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 51. Going into your weekend, beautiful sunny weather will continue with a high near 71 degrees on Saturday afternoon. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 49 degrees. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. It is 60 degrees right now. The sun is shining. Beautiful morning here in Pensacola. 62 in Gulf Breeze and 59 reported in Milton. Your next news at 8 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates, now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates, leave the numbers to the experts.
Marcus Point Baptist Church encourages you to invite a friend to the Community Sunrise Service inside Blue Wahoo Stadium. Reach out to your neighbors, coworkers, or even family members and show them an Easter tradition like never before. The Community Sunrise Service, Easter Sunday at 6 a.m. from Blue Wahoo Stadium. Visit our website at PensacolaChurch.org.
Why'd I go to the doctor? One day at the firehouse, I was so lightheaded I could barely stand. Even my crew noticed. Getting checked out was the right call. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com, sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. On Monday, we're going to have another CivicCon presentation entitled Building Optimism. The event features Speaker Kobe Lefkowitz, who is going to be in town Monday, and then that's at the right place at 6 o'clock. And then on Tuesday, April the 15th, oh, tax day, and my son's 21st birthday, by the way, so I'm excited about that, and the day the Titanic sank, and the day that, you know, Lincoln was shot and died. I mean, like, there's a lot of things that happen on April 15th historically, which I know because it's my, you know, son's birthday. Anyway, that's going to be at Maritime Place. That's Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. if you want to have a conversation, small group workshop about the topics. Kobe, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Andrew, thank you so much for having me on. I'm really excited to be talking to you today and coming down over this weekend.
Yeah, no, it's great to have you. My takeaway, my understanding of what your goal in this presentation is to help us figure out what Pensacola wants to be and how to make it more Pensacola than it already is, as opposed to just another Greenville, South Carolina, or another Columbia, or another, I'm never going to say it out loud, but St. Augustine, you know, like just... So many places are similar. Your goal is to help places be different, right?
That's right. The goal of this project is to help communities find their own identity and how they can imbue it into the built environment. So to make places feel more like Pensacola and to instill an optimism and a positivity that our best days aren't behind us, we can create a future as good as anything that we've had in the past. But we just have to believe. And then on that Tuesday morning session, it's going to go beyond that spirit of belief to a tangible workshop of, great, we want these sorts of buildings, we want these sorts of streets, trees, gardens, etc. How do we actually build that? How does it make financial sense? So I'll marry a bit of urban planning, real estate development, and civic participation through it all.
It's a little bit of a chicken and egg problem, though, right? Because what we want our community to, because, you know, the typical way is it's very piecemeal. There's no particular strategy, comprehensive plan. And so, like, you know, the mayor often says, you know, if you don't have a vision, anything fits it, you know, that kind of concept. But even if you do have a vision, making Pensacola be more of what it's going to be is actually going to make it into something that when we get there isn't going to feel like what it used to be. And so until we've made it, we can't really know what it's going to be. But once we make it, we've affected what it's going to be. I know I'm kind of talking in circles. The philosopher in me gets going. But that's a real issue, right, of sorts?
It is. And it's something that I think we should embrace as a positive direction of change, as opposed to this chicken or the egg or maybe an imposter syndrome over contriving a vision for what we want to be. It is very much a sense of, if we want to walk towards this direction, well, we've got to take the first step. And how do you take that first step? It can be really difficult, but I think what Pensacola has going for it is there is so much great foundational structures in the downtown core. And so better than many communities around America, where they don't have anything to grab onto and move forward with, you can take that and trudge forward, as it were. And there's stories of communities all over the country that have done this, whether it's Charleston or Santa Barbara. I won't say the St. A word here, but there are places that have done this.
You know, and I love that term, that imposter syndrome. That's a great concept. You know, obviously we are we have a lot of things, and I'm sure every community has a lot of things. And one of those things is there are some people who really want Pensacola to very much stay what it is. In fact, they'd kind of prefer if we went back a little ways in history. And there are other people who really want Pensacola to move forward, to grow, to develop, you know, to blossom, so to speak, even more than it already has. And that can be a tension too, right? In the community, that you're here with the vision of how can we make Pensacola more Pensacola. And some people are going to be like, we're already good enough. We don't need all that.
Yeah, it is a real tension. I think the main stance is we don't want the city to double in population or to become somewhere that it isn't, but to provide opportunities and space for those who live there who might not want to have to move somewhere else for a job or to raise their family, for example, and want to put down roots more firmly in town. It should be providing enough avenues for that.
So I love it.
It's sort of a rejection of a lot of what we've seen in historic American land use patterns over the last century, where you've been prohibited from changing, and change might just be adding a duplex or adding an accessory dwelling unit in your backyard so that your mom or your dad or your kids can be able to stay with you instead of moving into a senior living facility as they age or to move to another city. these can be very small and incremental changes, and I think it's important to be able to suss out what is something that's going to positively change people's lives versus what is an imposition coming on from high.
Yeah, because I mean, if you have if you have zoning that prohibits ADUs, that creates one kind of a community. If you have zoning that allows ADUs, then all of a sudden you have tighter family connections, you have less traffic, because if grandma does come to live in town, she doesn't have to buy a place across town, generating traffic across town. You have closer, tight-knit communities, you're building density. Like, there's all, you know, it might seem like a simple enough thing, but the long-term impact of these smaller kinds of decisions make a big difference overall. We're talking to Kobe Lefkowitz, who's going to be here in town for CivicCon on Monday at 6 o'clock at Right Place. We'll come back to this in just a second. John has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Insect Pest and Lawn. Get your yard spring ready with $100 off your first treatment with a new annual contract. Call Insect today. Only seeing some minor delays on I-10 eastbound right around Highway 29, about a 5 to 7 minute delay through that construction zone. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Kobe Lefkowitz, who's coming in town for a presentation Monday at CivicCon. Kobe, when I look around Pensacola as a non-native, right, I've only lived here 11 years, I think it has a lot going for it, obviously. But I also think we have a lot of interesting features, I might say, and things like, I know it's not in Pensacola, but we've been talking about the sign where you have the sailfish sign going to the beach. You've got the new welcome sign that just got lit up the other day. The Rex downtown has a new sign. I see murals a lot around town. There's been for a couple of years a mural project to develop more of that wall art, so to speak. And, you know, it's in my mind, what you're talking about is stuff like that. You're talking about stuff like, how do you place and plant trees to create the sort of community that you want? Are those the kinds of things that you're going to focus on?
Yes, there's a scale that I think communities can adopt and flex to whatever they need. At the lower end of that scale, the best way I think any community can improve itself without going out and building a beautiful new structure is to plant a tree or to put a flower box outside of your window, or smaller things that might not seem consequential, like a mural, like a new sign. But just as you say, over time, 1 to 2 to 5 to 10, the city can change in really beautiful ways where you didn't have that Walmart art there before, not Walmart, the wall art. There before. You didn't have the sign there before. A street that was bereft of trees now has really nice cover and shade when you're walking down to the beach or you're walking down to your friend's house. These are things that improve quality of life without feeling as though you need to build a brand new apartment building or an office building or an art gallery and that anybody can take on.
You know, it kind of reminds me a little bit of the old broken window concept, you know, in New York City, that if you can, you know, get rid of the squeegee guys and you can, you know, fix all the broken windows, that transforms a place. I think of things like in our neighboring counties in Baldwin County, for example, the manhole covers are decorative. It's a teeny tiny little thing, but you notice it, and it kind of creates an expectation of a certain quality, a certain, you know, excellence kind of idea. Everything from having, you know, chain link fences around your retention ponds rather than making your retention ponds into real amenities, or, you know, whether you're going to have, you know, visible chalks in the parking lots or whether you're going to do something else that looks a little bit nicer. It's all those, like you say, flower beds and things that seem almost so trivial. But somebody somewhere gets an idea, hey, you know what? If we can incentivize our citizens to have more flowers around, that will in the end produce an aggregate change in the way we perceive our community that's going to be really cool. And you might not even be able to tell what the difference is, but you'll feel it, right?
That's absolutely right. And I think we have a tendency to trivialize these small things, but that would be the precisely wrong thing to do. It is these small things that in aggregation create a real community. We have this sense that unless we build the brand new conference hall or we build the new minor league baseball stadium, we can't really make it as a place. And I think after half a century of economic development, we've now seen across the country these things don't work and are often more of a, I mean, in some cases they can, but in most cases they're more of a drain on financial resources and they're not really additive to quality of life. What if you took that $50 million or $100 million, which is no small sum of money, and you had a tree planting or street planting initiative? you fixed up some of the buildings that might have broken windows. You built vacant lots that are in the heart of downtown. You patch these things together, and then over time, the community's bonds become much stronger as a result of it. But it does start with the smallest things. It starts with you have trash on the street. You have people who are broadly affectionate for the community, which I know Pensacola has no shortage of. And can we reinvest into this place that is worthy of our affections? Of course we can. But when we have the sense that the only way to effectuate change is on a big scale, we oftentimes remove ourselves from having agency to do anything. And I hope to show that, you know, there's actually a lot we can do on the smaller, more incremental scales.
No, it sounds like, I mean, it's all very interesting stuff to me. I think it'll be a fabulous presentation. Kobe Lefkowitz is going to be presenting at CivicCon on Monday at 6 o'clock at the Wright Place at 80 East Wright Street. There's a follow-up group workshop event going on Tuesday, April 15th, Tax Day, at 8 a.m. at Maritime Place. Kobe, looking forward to hearing what you have to say. I think it's really interesting stuff, and as a part of CivicCon, this overall project to get us thinking differently about how we want our city to be and what we can do to really make it happen as opposed to just, you know, hoping it'll happen. I appreciate you coming to town and helping us do better.
Andrew, thank you so much for having me on, and I'm really excited to get down to town to talk about a lot more of this in depth.
Absolutely. 751 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are thinking about that next vehicle, and I know, you know, people are, and sometimes you put it off because you, like, know that you don't like buying a car and the process and the salespeople and the runaround and the games and all that stuff. Okay, if that's the way you feel, Frontier's your place, because they get that. They get that you don't like that stuff. And it's kind of like the way I think of Frontier is it's the place where people who don't like to buy cars can go to buy a car. Like, it's your safe space, okay? Because I know we went there and it was super easy. We actually kind of almost bought a car unintentionally in the sense that we were only trying to test drive it, and we test drove it and the price was good, and they came down and they gave us a day and they came down again and like, can we buy it? And like, easy. But just, it's people, you know, and they have a lot of experience. If you just have questions about used cars, you know, cars that are 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 years young, low miles, great condition, good prices, what they specialize in, they're going to warranty that car to 100,000 miles or 10 years because they only sell cars that are in good condition. That's why they can afford to do that. They just want to take care of you, and they understand you may not like this process, and they're trying to make it, I won't say they're going to make it good, although they do some things that are kind of cool. I don't want to spoil the surprise for you, but I will say this. They're going to definitely try to make it as least unfun as it can be. Okay, Frontier Motors, serving Pensacola for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Military veterans and active duty service members, you could become a certified cyber warrior with just 12 weeks of training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, and IT pros with these skills often enjoy abundant opportunity and a great lifestyle. Protect our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. SkillBridge and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP.
Bands on the Beach is back, so bring a lawn chair or a towel and get ready to enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music each and every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. This week, the Disco Kiss will be taking the stage, playing the best songs from the biggest bands of the 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair, but don't bring any pens or glass. Stop by the Cat Country Tent. It's Bands on the Beach every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Oh, well, who wants to live forever? Die!
Tariff tariffs to China are not enough. I'm advocating 400%. I do business in China. They don't play by the rules. They've been in the WTO for decades. They have never abided by any of the rules they agreed to when they came in for decades. They cheat, they steal IP. I can't litigate in their courts. They take product, technology, they steal it, they manufacture it, sell it back here. Never has an administration
400% tariffs. What
would that look like? I want Xi on an airplane to Washington to level the playing field. This is not about tariffs anymore.
This is Kevin O'Leary, you know, Shark Tank guy, the bald guy, balding, I don't know what he and talking about how he thinks we ought to raise the tariffs on China even higher. Go 400%.
Nobody has taken on China yet, not the Europeans, no administration for decades. As someone who actually does business there, I've had enough. I speak for millions of Americans who have IP that have been stolen by the Chinese. I have nothing against the Chinese people. They brought great literacy, art, and tech to the world. The government cheats and steals. And finally, an administration, you may not like Trump, you may not like his style or his rhetoric. Finally, an administration that puts up and says enough.
And so he's saying that, and I kind of had hinted at this the other day, that China needs us, right? We, a lot of times we have this perception that we need China. And, okay, fair enough. They're heavily invested in the United States and all kinds of ways in which China affects us, no doubt. But we are a massive net importer from China, meaning that if we put tariffs on their imports, it really punishes them and their economy. And that's what he's getting at. And we'll finish this up in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Just one accident to let you know about. North Davis Highway and East Burgess Road. It is off to the side of the road, but I'm just seeing some minor delays and wanted you to be aware of it. I-10 eastbound or right around Highway 29 through that construction zone, seeing a minor delay this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you are an employer, you've got employees, you got to deal with benefits like health, dental, vision, life, disability, got to manage payroll, HR, all of that kind of stuff. Listen, if you love what you're doing and you think it's great already, fantastic. Do nothing. But if you wonder if there's a better way, or if you maybe suspect or know that it's not as good as it could be, give Torgerson Causey a call. We've been working with them here in Pensacola, News Radio and Cat Country, been working with them for about 4 years, and they've been fantastic. They've been serving Pensacola for more than two decades, okay, so they really know what they're doing. But their job is to get up in the morning and make your employees happier. That's what, and to make your job of dealing with your employees easier. And I just know from our experience, better plans, better options, and frankly, much better customer service. My wife, who is an industrial engineer and asks very particular questions and usually is very unsatisfied with insurance types people, she loves Torgerson Causey. She thinks they're great. 433-9996 or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. I said I'd finish up the clip, the last one here. This is from, again, Kevin O'Leary talking about how we ought to go higher with the Chinese tariffs, not lower.
400% tariffs tomorrow morning. He'll tell you why. Xi can only stay the supreme leader if people are employed. If we wipe out any business there, because we are still 39% of all consumables on Earth and 25% of the world's GDP, America is the number one economy on Earth with all the cards. We will not have that forever. It's time to squeeze Chinese heads into the wall now.
Using trade as a form of diplomacy. As I mean, we call it a trade war, you know, I think it's an interesting suggestion. And if you look at how the tariffs have shaken out, right, we're down to just what is it? The cars, 10% across the board, everything, the car tariffs, and then the Chinese tariffs is all we got right now. And why are we treating China so differently? Was this the end game from the beginning? I don't, who knows? But it's an interesting end game if it is. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
And good morning, Andrew. Taking a look at our headlines today. The Supreme Court says the Trump administration will have to facilitate the release of a Maryland man that was wrongly deported to a prison in El Salvador. The court ruled yesterday that they'll have to, quote, be prepared to share what they can concerning the steps it has taken to ensure the release of Kilmar Abrego Garcia. The Social Security Administration says they're going to scale back on the need for in-person visits. This is after a lot of public pushback to an earlier version of their new policy. It would have required more in-office visits, which they say can be difficult for Americans who couldn't make the trip or didn't have internet access. And dive teams back in the Hudson today. They're looking for wreckage after that deadly helicopter crash. Some of the wreckage had been pulled to the shore yesterday. A lot of it's still in the water. And federal investigators are now beginning their probe into what caused the crash.
Thanks so much, David. Oh, by the way, I don't know if anybody, if you'd heard this, that we finally figured out where the Atlantic editor's phone number came for in that weird group chat text thing. It's because somebody who is a spokesperson for the department sent an email that had his information at the bottom, and apparently the phone just grabbed that and got confused. Stream us at